Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
We all know Oregon's got a big football game. It's going to play Ohio State. Everybody's talking about that game. Everybody's kind of looking past that season opener, which is the visit of North Dakota State University to Autzen Stadium. They beat Kansas State and Iowa and some other FBS schools over the year. Mike McFeely is a columnist at the Forum, and he covers North Dakota State football. And he reached out to me this morning, and I said, you know, you got to get you on the show. Mike, why is nobody here talking about North Dakota State? And are people there talking about Oregon?
Well, nobody there. First of all, John, thanks for having me in your program. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Secondly, nobody there is talking about North Dakota State because it's North Dakota State. It's an FCS school. And the game after that is little Ohio State coming into Eugene. So I fully understand why people there are not looking at North Dakota State, but in terms of Bison fans here and the media and everybody else around here, the Oregon game might be the most anticipated football game in North Dakota State's long and successful history. North Dakota State is pretty good at FCS, and as you mentioned, they've beaten Iowa, they beat Kansas State. They've beat Minnesota twice. They've beat Iowa State. They've won six straight games now over FBS opponents. None as talented, as athletic, and as good as Oregon, for sure. But NDSU does okay at the level they play at, and they and their fans are looking forward to the September 5th game, if it's played, which is the big question.
Rob Mullins, the athletic director at Oregon, said last week that, you know, he's planning on 12 games. And it's kind of what he has to say. I want to replay this. I asked him, you know, about moving the Ohio State game to Columbus. He responded by saying this.
I think it's a premature discussion. I mean, our focus right now is, you know, obviously safety, but also finding a way to play 12 games. We would love to have that game at Autzen Stadium. I would be surprised if Ohio State wanted to flip it because, you know, they would, you know, could potentially be hosting a game where they would be taking a revenue hit, whereas the way it's scheduled now, they could be able to have a game when they can get a full hit from revenue. So, you know, we're not thinking down that path. I am a person who believes that we should stay flexible and look at all opportunities until we have to, make a decision. You know, our hope right now is that it's 12 games. Ohio State's in Autzen Stadium, and that's our planning.
12 games would include North Dakota State at Oregon. First of all, how important is the matchup to North Dakota State? How important is the $650,000 payday that they would receive?
Well, a couple different angles there. Number one, NDSU, despite being an FCS school, in a lot of ways really represents more of an FBS school, just in terms of their budget, in terms of the talent they've had. Your listeners might have heard of Carson Wentz. Yep. They've put a number of players into the NFL the last 10 years, 15 years, and there's just a long history of success at North Dakota State. The Bison have won 8 of the last 9 FCS national championships. They have 16 national championships overall, going back to the Division II days. And it's just a program that, whatever the level they've been at, they've just been really good. Their team this year is expected again to be good. Their quarterback, Trey Lance, is only going to be a sophomore, redshirt sophomore, but he's already been mentioned by guys like Mel Kiper and others that could possibly be a top 10 draft pick next year already. And so they have a very talented team. And so it's important, I think, for the Bison, and again, particularly for their fans, to be able to match up against a school like Oregon, which is excellent, Rose Bowl victory, you know, all of Nike, all of that stuff that goes with Oregon football, and just to kind of see where they stand. You know, I mean, are they as good as they think they are? Are they better than what people think they are? Can Trey Lance do what he did against Oregon? Can he do what he did against other teams against Oregon? And so there's just a whole lot of things going on in Fargo and in North Dakota, why people want this game. Part of it is the masculinity thing. It's the let's show these guys how good they are. But frankly, I think Bison fans and the Bison football team and program have a right to feel that way, that they want a shot at an Oregon, no matter how it turns out, just to be able to be on that stage and possibly knock off a top five team in the country. In terms of the financials, I think that NDSU is in the same boat as a lot of FCS schools, that they need this FBS game, right? They need to pay games. $650,000, which is a huge chunk of change for anybody, but particularly an FCS school, is what NDSU would be paid for the game. So they want it for that reason, in addition to the idea that they just want to play the game to see how they stack up.
I was looking at the coronavirus map and the case count in the New York Times this morning. 2,400 or so cases in North Dakota, 54 deaths. I was trying to figure out if Oregon had to move that game, if it was safer to hold this game at the Fargo Dome, but it doesn't look that way, you know, and it doesn't, you know, giving up 650,000 probably is a non-starter at that point. You'd rather just play it at Autzen Stadium in front of, you know, 15,000 fans that are spaced out.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you this, if Oregon wants to come to Fargo and play the game, I'm sure that the Bison Athletic Department would take that and they would pack in 20,000 fans into the Fargo Dome and see how that turns out. I don't know how Rob Mullins and Mario Cristobal would feel about that, but I'm sure that NDSU would take it. You know, part of these games, John, is that NDSU's fans travel really well. I mean, you know, they can get 10,000 people down to Minneapolis for a Gophers game. They can get 10,000 people down to Iowa City for the Iowa game. The Bison fans had requested 11,000 tickets to the Oregon game. It's a destination game. It's become part of the aura of NDSU football, that whenever the Bison can schedule a game like this, the fans make it into a vacation, a 4 or 5 day vacation, go take it in and cheer on their team. I think that if the game's going to be played, it's going to be played at Oregon. The question is whether it is. I think it's looking more and more to me like the game is going to be played. If you would have asked me a month ago, I would have said no way with some of the restrictions that Governor Kate Brown had put into place and just the way things were going at that point. I would have said it was probably, 20-80 that the game was going to be played. I think today I'm more around 60-40, and I would guess that some people would say I may be too low. Maybe it'd be 70-30.
Yeah, I'm higher than that. I think this game's going to be played. I think they're all going to be played. I think the question then is, you know, is anyone in the stadium? Are they spaced out? How do they decide who gets into the stadium? I think they've got such a big hole in the middle of their budget if they don't play this game or these games that they are facing, hey, we've got to play, but it's a fan issue. So you're telling me 11,000 North Dakota State fans had tried to buy tickets to this game?
Absolutely, yes. Oh, yes. No, it's an impressive following. I, you know, for, and me being a columnist for all these years and covering this team for so long, I've run crossways with with many Bison fans over the years, but I'll give them credit in the fact that they support this football program and they travel with their team. It is a big deal that NDSU is playing Oregon, and this is something that people have for more than a year planned on by getting hotel rooms and airline tickets and buying tickets. And even if the game was played in front of a full house, I would guess that however many tickets Bison fans could get, whether it was 5,000 or 6,000 or whatever, I would guess there'd be another few thousand people that would travel to Eugene just to watch the game in the bars and go tailgating. It's a pretty impressive group of fans.
What makes North Dakota State football good? Like, what's the secret sauce?
They play physical, tough football, and it's cliche, it's coach speak, it's all of those things. But in an era where teams are trying to put up 70 points a game and they're running around like it's a fast break basketball game. NDSU continues to recruit this area, which means big, strong, hardworking kids that don't mind getting their nose dirty, and they just keep pounding on other teams, and they supplement that with some really fantastically talented skill players. And when you're playing in FCS, that gives you the chance to be a dominant program, and there's been no college football program more dominant at any level the last 10 years than NDSU has been. It's been impressive to watch. I'm an old, cynical, crusty old man who's seen a lot of sporting events and had the opportunity to cover Super Bowls and NBA playoffs and Major League Baseball playoffs and all those things. One of the most impressive things I've seen is what NDSU has done the last 10 years since becoming so dominant in FCS. They're putting out kids now, a couple NFL players every year. And at this level, that's unheard of. If Trey Lance goes on to the NFL, the quarterback, and he will, he'll get some chance in the NFL, that'll make three straight quarterbacks from an FCS program who will have been drafted by the NFL. That's unheard of. If you look at Carson Wentz, who of course went number two overall, the next quarterback was named Easton Stick. He was drafted in the fifth round by San Diego, Los Angeles, pardon me. And now Trey Lance, if he ends up being a first-round draft pick or a high draft pick, that's three straight quarterbacks that will have been drafted by the NFL. That's pretty remarkable for an FBS program.
Mike McFeely is our guest, columnist in Fargo, North Dakota, with the Forum newspaper in Fargo. Mike, the potential here exists that North Dakota State comes into Autzen Stadium and pulls off the upset. It's an Appalachian State over Michigan-type situation, and it's a big feather in the cap for North Dakota State. Also, potential exists that Oregon just boat races them and sort of shoots them down. What if that happens, is this a bad decision by North Dakota State to play this game, or do they walk off with a $650,000 going, hey, we took our shot?
No, I think it's they walk off with $650,000 and they get an awful lot of exposure out of it. And I also think that they have the confidence that I don't think it's going to be a 65-10 type game. Just the way North Dakota State plays and the way that they try to run the ball and control the clock, just their style of play doesn't lend itself to a 4 or 5 touchdown game. Now, that could happen. I mean, Oregon is so skilled, so talented, and now with Cristobal in there, they're focusing a lot on their physicality up front as well. But I just think that NDSU, even 5 years ago when they scheduled this game, looked at it and said, you know, we'll take the money for sure. We'll take the exposure. And we have confidence in our guys that if we can't win the game, that we're not going to be embarrassed doing it. I think they're willing to take that chance.
Is this the kind of situation that North Dakota State wants to be in? Do they want to play these games against major college football programs, brand names like Oregon and others? Is this sort of the blueprint moving forward for North Dakota State?
Well, a couple of things here. Several years ago, they reached out to Alabama to see if Alabama wanted to play them. So that should answer your first question. They're willing to take on a school like in Alabama, even if they get physically beat and even if they get routed. They want to take that chance. They want to be seen as a top college football program, even though they're in FCS. They're willing to take the lumps, to take that chance. The other part of the answer to your question is they can't find anybody to play them, John. Once they beat Kansas State, once they beat Iowa, nobody will schedule them at FBS. And so when Oregon said yes, NDSU took it, and part of the reasoning might have been, if we don't say yes, we're not going to get anybody else. Now, in the meantime, they've been able to schedule Arizona and Colorado in future years, and that's a whole different deal than playing in Oregon. But this will be NDSU's first FBS game since 2016 when they beat Iowa. They just simply can't find anybody to play them because there's no benefit to it for an FBS school, right? I mean, if the Gophers of Minnesota schedule NDSU again, there's probably a better than 50-50 chance, even with the improved Gophers team, that NDSU could beat them. And then what good does that do Minnesota? You're signing a check to pay to the school, plus you're losing the game. And so pretty much all the schools in the MAC and those type of schools will not schedule NDSU, and the Big Ten, Big 12 schools also will not schedule them, and so the Pac-12 is where it's at right now.
And the Pac-12, you know, is ripe for the picking. I mean, it's not the SEC. It hasn't participated in the playoff. And I mean, if I'm North Dakota State and I'm feeling good about myself, Colorado and Arizona, those are not bad places to start. I think they, you know, they'd have a better shot in those games. Oregon feels like a tall order. Am I being arrogant there in looking at and saying, look, I like North Dakota State. It's a good story. But, you know, are they really going to come into Autzen Stadium and win that game? You've probably heard this before.
Sure, I have, but I think I don't think you're being arrogant, and I don't think Oregon fans or Oregon itself is being arrogant by thinking that. It to me, it just feels like a different matchup. You know, when they played Kansas State, for example, Kansas State was good, but they weren't a nationally elite-type program. They were the defending Big 12 champions, but had lost a lot, and it was Kansas State under Bill Snyder. They were good, but not intimidating, perhaps. Iowa was a little bit of a different story because Iowa was coming off a Rose Bowl appearance and was actually ranked 13th in the country at the time. It was early in the season, but they were ranked 13th. And when they just out-physicaled Iowa in the second half, they dominated the second half against the Hawkeyes. You kind of went, okay, that's pretty good. That's not bad. You know, that's a pretty good victory for them. But boy, Oregon, to me, in addition to being physical, it just seems like they have a different gear athletically than an Iowa or a Kansas State, maybe a different speed than an Iowa or a Kansas State. When I saw the Bison matchup against Iowa, I thought NDSU was more physical, and I didn't think they were slower necessarily than Iowa. I don't know if that's going to be the case. NDSU is it's good. I mean, it's a good football program for having 63 scholarships. I just don't know if it has the depth that it needs everywhere to be able to compete for four quarters against Oregon.
We're talking to Mike McFeely from Fargo, North Dakota. What's the state of the union right now with students on campus at North Dakota State? Sort of the feeling around Fargo when it comes to distancing. What did you see over Memorial Day weekend?
Probably like everywhere else. I think people are getting tired of it.
Yep.
I think they're ready for it to be over, even though it probably shouldn't be over. I think it's just like a lot of other states in that regard. NDSU's campus is not open, but the athletes are going to be allowed on campus here, I want to say next week, and they're going to try to get back to what they can do. And so I just think it's like a lot of other states in terms of we've kind of picked our way through to where we are now, trying to do all the right things and social distance and wear masks and all those things. But the North Dakota's governor, who is a Republican, which matters in these cases today, he opened up the bars and restaurants a couple of weeks ago and said they could open up if they had all the protocols in place. And I don't know that people have flocked to them. I have not gone out. I actually live in Minnesota, by the way, but I have not gone to a bar or restaurant in North Dakota. And I've tried to stay in as much as possible, but there's certainly people who are the opposite of me, and they're going out and having fun.
Mike McFeely, I appreciate you. I look forward to the game, and hopefully I'll see you at a distance in the press box at Autzen Stadium.
That's going to be the other thing, is how are we going to cover these things if they do happen? If there's going to be 15,000 people in the stands, are you going to be there? Am I going to be there? Who's going to be there? It's going to be interesting on a lot of different fronts.
Appreciate you. Thank you for making time. There's Mike McFeely, columnist in Fargo, North Dakota. I think Oregon wins that game, and I think they win it going away. I think they blow out North Dakota State as they look forward to Ohio State. But I get why North Dakota State takes the game. 650,000 reasons why. Leave it here. We'll be around the water cooler next as part of the Culligan Water Cooler Report. Coming up, 2 o'clock hour, my wife will be popping in studio as she always does. We'll be talking about some dicey subjects. We'll gather around the water cooler in the 2 o'clock hour. 2 at 2 is still ahead. There's a spike in coronavirus cases in the state of Oregon. It's tied to some social gatherings. I'll talk about that as well as sort of the big picture questions across sports, including the NBA seemingly being ready to come back to work, and now some players saying, look, if you're not going to come back in a meaningful way, what's the point? I agree with that. We'll talk about all of that coming up. I appreciate everybody who makes this radio show part of their day. You can join Tame Canzano by texting BFT to 484848. Do that right now, and you'll get the newsletter. The weekly newsletter goes out on Thursday. Don't miss out on that. Text BFT to 484848. All right, 2 o'clock.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.